Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for those leading in God's church. I'm Andrew Cook. It's good to be together once more. Christian Basics, the Person of Jesus Christ. New believers and those who have not had the opportunity to receive good Bible teaching often have a lot of questions about the basics of the Christian faith. And one of the privileges pastors and church leaders have is to open them up to the treasures that we find in the Bible to answer those questions. Today we start a new subject in our Christian Basics series of programs, which will help you teach about the person who is at the very centre of all that we believe, our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Since his birth over 2,000 years ago, his influence has been felt all around the world. Millions of people have had their lives transformed by him and still today experience his love and power in their lives. He's become their saviour and friend, their Lord and shepherd, their master and king. Now, when we read about him in the Bible, we discover that his birth and life were foretold in amazing detail and accuracy. And so with this in mind, we're going to begin by considering just one or two of those prophecies about Jesus and then go on to a brief overview of his life. Dr. John Hall is helping us today, and when Derek French spoke with him, he asked John to start with a few of those prophecies about Jesus.
Thank you, Derek. It's great to be able to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Like a trailer to a film, the build-up to his coming into the world was dramatic, a trailer going on for thousands of years. Abram, about 2000 BC, was promised blessings through his offspring. This referred to the Lord Jesus. Moses promised a prophet like himself. King David was told he would have a descendant who would reign forever. And that was about 1000 BC. After that, the prophets predicted he would be born of a virgin, yet called the Mighty God. They told where he would be born. Then a virgin did conceive in Bethlehem and bore a son who was called Jesus. He lived with his family until he was nearly 30 years old, and then he started to teach. He healed the sick, he miraculously fed the hungry, he raised the dead. He said he had come from heaven to do his Father's will. He predicted his death and resurrection. He said he had come to die, to redeem, to liberate, and he did die on the cross to do just that. Then he was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. 6 weeks later he ascended to heaven, and as he promised, poured out his Holy Spirit, just as he had said. Now much of this is summed up in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4, and I wonder if you could please read that for us, Derek.
Yes, certainly, John. Paul writes, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures."
Notice that. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, God's writing, God's word, the Bible. God said he would die and why he would die, and he did die. Who was it then that died? Well, listen to the Apostle John's description in his Gospel in chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." The Word is God. So the one who was dying on the cross was God's Son. But John continues to write later on in that chapter, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." So we see that God the Son came from heaven, was born and lived as a man, just as the Bible said he would. He died for sinners. He rose to save sinners. Here is someone who is phenomenally important. One writer described him as the one man in 60 billion, the most important man who ever lived. It's vitally important for you to know about him so you can trust him and be yourself saved.
John, we read in the Bible, and indeed people speak about Jesus in a variety of ways. For example, I've just called him Jesus. On other occasions, I refer to him as Lord and so on. What's the fullest title given to him in the Bible itself?
His full title, Derek, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, where it says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ."
Well, John, we know that very often in the Bible, names have quite important significance and meaning. For example, Samuel means asked of God and was given to him because his mother Hannah prayed to God for a child, and so she called him Samuel in recognition of the Lord's goodness to her. Could you explain for us then the significance of this full title given to Jesus of Lord Jesus Christ? And perhaps we could take each of those names in order and look first of all at the name Lord.
Yes, each name does point to a specific significant thing about the Lord Jesus. Lord points to the fact he is God, Jesus to the fact he is a human being and a saviour, and Christ as his role or his job in life, if you like. And so, as you said, let's start with Lord. You remember the word translated in the English version of the Old Testament, Lord in small capitals, refers to Jehovah, the one true God who has revealed himself to Israel. For instance, it says in Isaiah 45, "I am God, there is no other. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength." Perhaps, Derek, you could read that full section, Isaiah 45, 22 to 24.
Yes, John, the Lord himself is speaking and he says, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exult."
Lord there is referring to Jehovah. And similar words are used in Philippians chapter 2 in the New Testament concerning the Lord Jesus, in verses 9 to 11, where the word of God says this, "Therefore God exalted him," that's Jesus, "to the highest place, and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And you remember the angels announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord."
So Lord then means that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. What about the name Jesus? What's the significance of that title, John?
Well, the word Jesus itself means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is the name translated Lord in the Old Testament. It's God's special covenant name. So you can say for short, Jesus means Saviour. And it's the name given to the baby born of Mary. You remember Matthew writes in his Gospel those words that the angel gave to Joseph. "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus means Saviour.
Rather wonderful, isn't it, that God is our Saviour in Christ?
It is indeed.
Well, that leaves us to that third title, Christ. What does that mean, John?
Christ is the Greek form of the Jewish word we translate as Messiah, and it means anointed one. It's the anointing which sets people apart for a special task. The British monarch is anointed with oil at the coronation. King David in the Old Testament was anointed by Samuel for the task of kingship. So Jesus is the Christ, specially set aside, filled with the Holy Spirit, to do the work of saving. I wonder, Derek, if you could read from the Old Testament where Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is predicted in Daniel 9, 25 to 26.
"No one understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One," that's the Messiah, the ruler comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed.
Daniel there predicts the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. Peter calls Jesus the Christ in Matthew 16:13-16. Could you read that for us, Derek, please?
Yes, certainly, John. We read, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Notice that, the Christ, the one who has come as God's specially anointed person to do the task of saving.
So, John, how would you then summarise this teaching from the Bible on the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, he is God's Son who has come from heaven to save, to be a saviour. And in order to be a saviour, he has taken our flesh and blood. He's God's special anointed one to do this work. All summed up in that creedal statement, the Lord Jesus Christ has two natures which are unmixed, fully divine, fully human, and they concur, that is, they occur together in the one person, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you then, John, for that introduction. I know that in future programmes we're going to come back to these two natures in some detail, but in closing, what should our response be to what we've already learned about the Lord Jesus Christ today?
He is the most important person who ever lived. It's important for you to know about him. It's even more important that you should know him as your saviour from sin. If you desire to know the God who made you, Jesus is the doorway to God. You can trust him. He knows what it takes to get to heaven because he has come from there. And so the challenge at the end of this programme is this Lord Jesus your saviour and Lord?
John's closing question is always a valid one to ask those we teach. If Christ is their saviour and Lord, they will eagerly tell you. In these cases, we can rejoice with them for what Jesus has done in their lives. But sometimes we may find that those before us are really not sure, and in these circumstances, we need to take the opportunity to go over the gospel with them again, reminding them of what Jesus has accomplished through his death and resurrection, and urge them to repent and believe. Then the most wonderful person who has ever lived will become their Saviour and King, their Lord and Shepherd, their Master and King. Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of Serving Today. So until next time, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may God bless you. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.